Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Where tonight, I promise, we will try to be better than the Hornets. We may not succeed. We will try to be better than the Hornets tonight, who lost a preseason game with the Mavericks, 127-59.
Well, the beauty 17? Of it is, in this business, ain't nobody running us out of the gym like that. From pillar to post, I'll take them all on. Let's go.
127-59. The Hornets lose. 17, 13, 11, and 18. Those are their four quarters.
Where's that Miami kid?
Woo! Man.
Good job.
That is
good effort.
Not what you want to see. Wow. 59 points. Even though it's
it's an exhibition game.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, because now you set the bar so low, Jason.
Yeah.
Anything you do in the regular season is going to be a positive.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Now it's like, hey, we scored 65
in this
game. We scored 70 in this game. Yeah, but they scored 125. It doesn't matter. We were scoring 59 just a week ago. Now we're at 70. We're a work in progress. Give us some time.
Play the Alan Jackson song as your intro. Just be patient, because I'm a work in progress. And that's it, every quarter.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Bubba Shot the Jukebox. The big Alan
Jackson
song. That's
not him. That's Mark Chestnut.
I thought that was Alan Jackson did Bubba Shot the Jukebox.
No.
What's the big Alan Jackson song I like then? Ah, that's going to bug me now.
Chattahoochee.
No. It's going to bother me.
Pop a Top.
No.
No, he's got a lot of them. I mean, he's got a lot of number one hits. He wrote, because he writes all his own music, so he's richer than, pretty much anybody else in the music game.
Oh, sure.
And he wrote a lot of number one hits for other folks.
Mm, I really thought it was Bubba Shot.
Remember When, Living on Love.
No. It was an older one. It wasn't
Chasing That Neon Rainbow, Gone Country.
No.
Montgomery, that's a great song.
No. I'm sorry. He had Don't Rock the Jukebox. That's what it was. He had Don't Rock the Jukebox. Bubba Shot the Jukebox. Right. That's it. He had Don't Rock the Jukebox. That's what it was. Now I remember.
A country
now I'm good
song.
Now. I feel good now because that would have bothered me the entire show. Now I'm done.
Anytime we can get the jukebox in, we're good.
He also did the theme for Gone Country, right? The song, the movie? Didn't he do that?
No, that's George Strait.
That's George Strait. Oh, man, I'll tell you. I am not going to take country music stars.
You also had the Joe Diffie song, Prop Me Up Beside the Jukebox If I Die. No word when he died last year whether they actually did that or not.
All right, so I need Mike to do more knowledge on country music singers. Welcome inside tonight. Off night in Major League Baseball for playoffs, and off night in the National Football League. It's like, wait a minute, we've had games every night. Although we did get the United States men's national team a big win over Costa Rica. And I'll tell you, Mike, I found a job that I could be better at with no experience, and that is I can be not a Twitter influencer, but what would be the right way to describe it? I could be not a Twitter inspiration. I should be a motivational tweeter. That's what I could do. Because I tweet out, United States gives up that first goal to Costa Rica, and I'm like, my God, the Jets start faster than the United States men's national team. It can't score in the first half. I tweet that out there. 2 minutes later, bang, Des scores to tie the game at one apiece. I did my work. I could be a motivational tweeter. I should have got paid for that. U.S. men's national team should have paid me for that tweet. 2 minutes after I put that out there, boom, they scored. They go on to win 2-1. That's all me. I'm going to take credit for that goal.
Well, you take that. I was watching some NWSL on Twitch in parallel, so I was having some fun with that.
Were you playing video
really
games at the same time?
Officiated games. No video game watching. That's just where they stream the women's league.
No, but anytime anybody's on Twitch, they're always doing video games as well. It's like you can't just do something and watch. No, you have to be playing a video game.
I was multitasking by watching the men's game.
Dude, I watch. No, Blake Snell is always playing video games on Twitch when he is talking about how upset he is about things. It's always video games involved.
Well, I'll have to just get a joystick to sit in front of me, even if I'm not actually playing a game.
No, just put the headset on. You don't need to just put the headset on and pretend like just look like you're looking at a screen and then do your thing. It's got to be video games. It has to be.
So I could constantly claim I'm distracted by something. I like that.
Exactly. See, now you got it. Now you got it. So we have a lot of NFL, a lot of NBA to get to tonight, and clearly there's been big developments with Kyrie Irving. Again, I hate to say we told you so, but we kind of told you so. But we'll start tonight with the latest in the John Gruden fiasco, because if you want to be mad at somebody besides John Gruden, right, you want to complain about somebody, we'll tell you the guy to complain about, and that is Raiders owner Mark Davis. Today, he broke silence in the aftermath of Gruden's resignation as Raiders head coach after all of these hateful, racial, misogynistic, homophobic remarks he made on emails was made public. And his response today, after Gruden resigned on Monday night, was, "I have no comment. Ask the NFL. They have all the answers." This is what Mark Davis told ESPN. "No comment. Ask the NFL. They have all the answers." Implying that while investigators have gone through 650,000 emails, oh, the NFL seemingly has all the answers now. Why is it poor John Gruden and me who's gotten singled out here by the National Football League? So now he's playing. Now they're playing the victim. Why? Dude, this is the guy to be mad about in Mark Davis, because he is someone who, A, when he knew the results of the emails and what John Gruden said on Friday, the entire team knew he allowed John Gruden to coach the team on Sunday, knowing full well this was going to get out and Gruden was going to wind up losing his job. So all this gets out and still go coach the team. I'm not going to suspend you. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to act at all. Go coach the team. The emails get out. And then when there's a hurried meeting he has with John Gruden, Gruden is allowed to resign. He is allowed to resign. Mark Davis doesn't step up and say, "I'm sorry, you're fired. We can't have you here with this kind of hate speech. This is awful. You can't coach a team if this is how you behave over the course of your career." No statement from Mark Davis after about, "This is awful and we cannot condone this and this is not something John Gruden, when we got results of these emails, blah, 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 blah." Nothing from him. Nothing from him in the aftermath. Just this, that, "Oh, now I'm being picked on. You know what? I'm sorry that your head coach said all of those awful things, but it happened." And now he's just doing the old, "Hey, let's do what's fashionable. Let's blame the NFL. Whenever something goes wrong I don't like, let's just blame the NFL." Right? Like I should do that in my life. Whenever something goes wrong I don't like, I just blame the NFL. Even if it has nothing to do with the NFL, I'm going to blame the NFL. "Oh, I was late to pick up Zoe from school. Dad, why were you late?" "Ah, it's the NFL's fault. It's all the NFL's fault." Now Mark Davis is saying, "Oh, look at me. All these other things that are in the emails that could embarrass other people, but this is the one that gets out. Oh, look at me. Poor me, poor Raiders." No, you're the one that has had an epic failure on this, in that you can't even acknowledge how bad these things were, and you just sat back and let the guy resign without even stepping up and saying, "Hey, this is bad. I understand this." No, that's the guy to be mad at. You want to be mad at somebody? "Oh, I'm mad at Roger Goodell for hiding the emails. I'm mad at this. I'm mad at that." No, that's the guy to be mad at, because that's the guy who had an epic fail that continues on now, painting himself as the victim, as Mark Davis.
Well, we go back to his statement that was released on Friday. Quote, "The content of the email regarding Demoris Smith from John Gruden when he worked for ESPN 10 years ago is disturbing and not what the Raiders stand for, etc. Addressing the matter with Coach Gruden, we'll have no further comment at this time." All right, so on Friday, as we talked about, the distancing of, "Hey, he was an ESPN guy. We didn't know about this, vetted." And you've had several players take up for John Gruden in their press availabilities midweek, as well as so many others who've taken to their megaphones as well on the other side to talk about their experiences with him. As for Mark Davis, look, the resignation, I'm always hesitant, right, when a guy resigns versus fired. I mean, it's the same thing. Then it just becomes a battle of dollars and cents, right, in the legalese. Because don't we kind of recognize that he was going to have to get let go or be dismissed or whatever term you want to use, or walk away as it is, and I guess only for the Wikipedia notes of what the difference is and whatever the legal fights are over whatever the rest of his contract is. But suffice to say, he's no longer the Raiders head coach. Now, for Mark Davis to not get in front of the microphones and send the new head coach, you know, who's got 49% of control.
Yeah, 49%. Yeah.
Well, it's flip. You know, Mike Mayock in this added 2% control, and Bisaccia, you know, long a Gruden guy, because that's the part of it that really is the and look, they're all Gruden guys. So for Mark Davis, other than firing everybody but Gus Bradley, I don't know that he really has a choice.
Yeah.
Right,
but
now,
look,
in terms of the administration of the team. But he should have addressed the press more than asked the NFL.
But look, but let's be honest. If there's two people in charge of something and one person has 51%, the other person has 0%. They don't have 49%.
No, that's right. It doesn't
they
matter.
They have 0%.
Right.
No,
well,
that.
But that's just it. He has controlling interest?
Yeah.
Yes, that means he has all the interest. So that's certainly one, whatever. It's just one of those fun things to play with numbers here. But right now, Mike Mayock left to clean up a mess. Derek Carr and, you know, trying to figure out personnel-wise, right? The offensive line has been a mess, and now they're dealing with this, right? Carl Nassib took a personal day today instead of attending practice and whatever press availability. So you've certainly got some issues in the locker room off of the insensitive comments that came to light. For Mark Davis, I have to wonder if he's not already, you know, going to get called to the commissioner's office, and that's the next part of this, right? There's some reports. Our friend Jason Cole has his notes on this, as do others, about, you know, the long play here in the league and how this goes through. But for Mark Davis to not address any of this beyond a 2 or 3 line note passed through media members, and instead of getting in front of a microphone and just owning it, is certainly disheartening. Just, you know, you're not the coach leading them in the locker room, but you're still seen as the leader of this multi-billion dollar franchise, your dad's franchise, and all of the Gruden comments and everything that's come out. And look, you could be mad about how the way it comes out. I get that. But it did, and here we are, and you have to go deal with it. Everything that came out in those Gruden emails were the absolute antithesis of everything Al Davis had worked for and done with his hiring and the way he ran his organization. Doesn't mean he didn't have a bunch of rogues playing on Sundays. That's a whole other matter.
There were always
right?
rogues.
So, like,
there
we
always
have
there.
But
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we have to separate those for a moment. But all of this was the time for Mark Davis to stand up on the legacy of his father, and he didn't.
No, I went from being embarrassed for the Raiders and embarrassed for him and understanding that he is probably morally challenged as a person when you can't at least come out and put a statement about, hey, this is bad, or I can't act about it. I know you love John Gruden. You've known the guys. You got to fire him, right? I mean, Fred Willard had to fire Ron Burgundy. Ron, I got to fire. I don't want to, but I got to fire you. No, you can do that. But what really what really pissed me off on it is how now he is so quickly turned to play the victim. So quickly, it's ask the NFL. They know everything. This story is 2 days old. This is not even a week has gone by, and suddenly, well, now I can play the victim, because I see what's happening now with many people in the media and the press and in the NFL calling for release of these emails. Yes, let me now play the victim. No, I'm sorry. You got to own it. You own this for a few days. You own the team. And already now it's, yeah, I want to step away. You haven't taken any responsibility, and now I want to step away from it and say, yes, it's the NFL's fault. I went from being embarrassed to just being pissed. And now Mark Davis is a guy that whatever he does, however he moves forward, this is what's going to define him. His lack of inaction when he heard about this. And I wonder how this is going to play in the Raiders locker room over the long haul. It's, boy, our owner couldn't even stand up and fire a coach who had said so many hateful things about people. I don't even know if he's ever telling the truth about me. And he couldn't even stand up and do it. Yeah, you know what? I don't know. I like Vegas and all, but I could go play someplace else. I mean, right. I went from embarrassed to being just out and out mad and pissed that Mark Davis decides to say, I'm the victim now. Go look at me. It's poor me. Yes, poor me. I got to fire a coach. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you kind of had to do it. There was no question about it.
Team on the edge after that hot 3-0 start. I do want to say this just really quick, because I thought you were transitioning and searching for the movie Pure Country. I corrected you inadvertently. That was George Strait. Gone Country was, in fact, an Alan Jackson hit.
Okay. All right. See, there we go. All right. Now, there we go. Now, I've learned more about
you didn't know that, but yes. More. Yeah, there you go.
Well, no, I kind of did. I needed you to verify it for me, and then you somehow found a way to tell me I was wrong, but now you're telling me I was right. So it's okay.
Well, because the way you paused, it sounded like you were looking for the movie, right? Where the guy from Friday Night Lights goes in and takes his spot when he decides he's tired of the glitz and glamour of the what is no longer country music. He becomes Dusty. And so that was pure country. And that gave you the classic, I Cross My Heart. There you go. There's your Slide Over Baby song for
Wednesday. Wasn't that our side? The Sidewalk Ends, Our Love Begins? Was that the other one,
That's
too?
Right. That was right, in that movie as well. Yeah,
look
yeah.
How much more I know
that's
already.
That's George Strait. Nicely done.
I got so much smarter in the last 10 minutes. Who knew? Look at all that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
And that's true.
A little bit more on the Gruden situation in regards to the 650,000 emails. Because now, obviously, look, there's the Gruden part of it, and there's the emails that everybody wants to see. What are the other 650,000 emails that were out there over the course of 8 years in regards to the Washington football team investigation, right? We told you how Mark Davis a few minutes ago now is playing the victim saying, oh, I can't believe, you know, ask the NFL, they know all the answers. Okay, let's just stop for a second. What we said last night is exactly how this is going to go. And I'm already getting people in my timeline going, why aren't you pushing the NFL to release these emails so we could find out other things that are going on? Yeah, there's probably plenty of things in these 650,000 emails that the NFL doesn't want out. I'm sure there's
a ton of it.
I'm sure there's 50 yes. different storylines that the NFL doesn't want out there. What's in
and
these
many
emails.
Of them have nothing to do with any of these types of comments.
Exactly.
It's a lot of it's going to be about league business, which goes back to what we said during the entirety of the settlement with Colin Kaepernick. It was you don't want them to see what's behind door number two with how you handle all the other business.
We told you last night, and this is why I'm not going crazy about the NFL releasing the emails, because it's not going to matter, because the NFL is never, and listen to me when I say this, never going to release these emails. The only way this gets out is if somebody decides to go maverick and whistleblow and want to go live in another country because they're going to be extradited to face charges. That's the only way these emails get made public. The NFL is never going to release them. And we told you last night, this is how the next few days are going to play out. Remember, we're ahead of the curve on this show. That should be the name of the show, Ahead of the Curve, because we told you what was going to happen. The next few days, you are going to get different personalities stepping up publicly and saying, why isn't the NFL releasing these emails? What did we get today? We had journalists, many across the country. What was Daniel Snyder's behavior like? Because this is all part of the Washington football team investigation. Why is he not part of this? Right? Then you had Demaurice Smith, head of the NFLPA, who was at the forefront of the John Gruden comments in the beginning, saying, I'm afraid that these emails are going to be about hiring practices, and we're going to see how it was harder for African-Americans to get hired as coaches in the NFL. And the NFL is going to go, yeah, we're not releasing it. Right? You're starting to see this now. There will be people over the next few days, just like Demaurice Smith today, making a great comment. Hey, I wonder what's going on here. I wonder what it could be wind up something about hiring practices. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what people say. The NFL is not going to release these emails. They're not going to. You think suddenly they're just going to do it and say, all right, you guys want it. Here you go. No, the NFL's not going to do that because it's going to be bad things. Like any sport and any behind the scenes, when you see how the sausage is made, ooh, I don't know about that, man. The NFL does not want bad business out there. And just because people want it and say, you owe it to us, you think the NFL's going to say, you're right, it's only fair. No, the NFL's playing a squid game. Oh, you owe it to. No, I'm trying to get out of here alive. I don't care if you die. I'm getting out of here alive. You can die. I don't care. Yeah, I don't owe you anything. They don't owe anybody anything. They're not going to be pressured by anyone. Demaurice Smith is not going to pressure Roger Goodell. No one is going to say something. You can have someone come out with with incredible accusations and say, you know what I think is in this email? You could have a player, a former player, saying, this is what's in there because X, Y, and Z happened to me. And you could have another couple of players saying, yes, that's what happened to me. And the NFL is going to shrug and go, yeah, not releasing the emails. It's not going to happen. We're not going to get it. I told you last night, and this is how it's going to go. For the next few days, you are going to see this being a story, and then eventually we'll get to the games this weekend, and we'll get on to something else, and the NFL just plays it out, because that's what they've done with all the controversy. They don't want anything bad out, and clearly they don't want 650,000 emails with who knows what's in it to get out. They're mad enough the Gruden stuff got out, but there's nothing they could do about that because the Gruden stuff got out, because they didn't want that to get out either. So for anybody who says, oh, you know, hey, the Raiders, oh, you know, no. The NFL didn't want the Gruden stuff out either. The NFL didn't say, well, let's get the Gruden stuff out there and then we'll forget about the rest of it. No, they didn't want the Gruden stuff out there either. Okay, something happened for the Gruden emails to be made public. That's what I would like to know. How did just the Gruden things get out? Because there's no way I think it's the NFL covering it up. This is a favor. Someone heard something. Someone told someone something or sent them a document, and this is how the Gruden emails got out. Because the NFL wasn't going to say, we'll release this. It makes one of the most high-profile head coaches in the NFL look like a racist and a misogynist and a homophobe. Yeah, no, we're going to put that out there and everybody will forget about it. No, that's not happening. However it got out, it got out. The NFL didn't want that, but they're damn sure going to make sure that nothing else is going to get out. So that's how the rest of this is going to go. Complaining and saying, why don't you release it? It's not going to work, right? It doesn't work in the TV show or in the movie when someone shows up at someone's office with the media behind them going, what's the truth? What's the truth? And someone runs into their office and slams the door and goes, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. I got to disappear and go to Barbados. No, that's not how it goes. This is going to be the next few days. There will be outcries, and the NFL is just going to say, okay, we'll let you huff and puff, and then at the end, you're going to lose energy, and we're going to move on because you're not seeing the emails.
Well, but I mean, go through it, Jason. Like, just the idea, and we watch enough TV. You write novels. I've read enough and occasionally start to dabble in short stories again. Eventually, they'll publish them after I'm defeated so they can make some more money off me. I'm talking about my kids, that is. But the idea that you do have a lot of conspiracy theories out there of, hey, and we talked about it as it started to happen. You got to have a fall guy because nobody was going to believe you had 650,000 emails and there wasn't one actionable, objectionable item or two in there. So add to the fact that maybe John Gruden is, based on the emails for one, but just in his dealings with people day to day, may not have been the warm, fuzzy pitch man that we saw for so many who have now all jumped away, by the way, Skechers, the latest among them. But the idea that the NFL leaked it, I wouldn't rule it out entirely, even if they categorically deny it. That's fine. They put out saying, no, we wouldn't want this. But remember, they also know what else is in that dossier. So it's one of those where forever you've got those hanging over however many people would have been in that loop. And that information could find its way to shake free at any point. I mean, that's a terrifying kind of situation, I'd think, as you look forward. But for John Gruden, yeah, he's gone, and now the league tries to figure out next. I mean, you even saw today, it became, and we'll talk about this in a larger perspective, but it became the obfuscation, right? The word we used yesterday with John Paul Morosi. The idea that you've got journalist on journalist and reporters, insiders, whatever term you want to put on these guys, it all of a sudden became about that. It was no longer about the Washington football team anymore, right? We went 2 degrees already in a matter of 48 hours away from what was the central investigation that was going on here, right? So that's the whole other thing is, all right, make sure you keep that energy off of the original stuff, right? The reports of abuses to female employees and the cheerleaders and a hostile work environment and all of those things that we go to Mark Davis and John Gruden and then take it out into the journalism sphere of how people are getting and exchanging information based on some court documents from June. So, I mean, this gets to spiral away from the initial, but, you know, adding what are we doing? A petition to, yes, please release it. What are they going to do? They're going to shrug. They're not going to suddenly say, all right, here's the thumb drive, and we put our logo on it for all of you to use. I mean, you know, we get that for the NFL media guides. You know, if you go to a Super Bowl week, you get that, so you have information of what's going on during the week. But there's no way in hell they're saying, oh, by the way, here's all 650,000. Have fun. No, that's never going to happen. It would require some sort of court order, and, you know, the more processes and litigation to do so.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So yesterday, when the Brooklyn Nets officially made the decision that Kyrie Irving is not going to play with the team unless he is fully vaccinated and can be 100% a team member, we told you the Nets have moved on from him. They all have. They've moved on, and even if he does come back, it will be stilted and weird, and it will find a way for Kyrie Irving to not be a Net after very long. They are done with his antics. They are done with everything they've had to deal with over the course of the last couple of years. This has been Kyrie Irving's career. He has found a way to, as talented as he is, for three teams to now say, we don't want you anymore. Not, I'm great and I've moved on, like Kevin Durant. Hey, we'd love to have you. Oh, my God, we'd love to have you. Oh, my God. No, this is, hey, okay, we're done. Cleveland said, okay, we're done. Boston, go ahead. Boston said, nope, nope, you know what, we're done. Now the Nets are saying, nope, 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 we're done. We told you. And if you needed any more evidence about that, today, a double barrel of stories. James Harden says, I haven't talked to Kyrie Irving since we found out he wasn't going to be a part of the team. So it's not like it's Kyrie, Harden, and KD who are, hey, we're all doing this together. No, now even Harden and KD understand the team is moving forward, and it's not moving forward with Kyrie Irving. Shams Charania of Yahoo reports tonight that Kyrie Irving is not going to be offered a contract extension from the Brooklyn Nets. Now, this is a very odd story, right? Because he's got 2 years left on his deal. But to get this out there, this is another shot across the bow telling you, telling Kyrie, you are done. We are not going to offer you a contract extension when you're going to be 31 years old, still have a lot of great basketball left. You are done. And now we are going to figure out a way for a divorce. We're in the end game. This is the end game for Kyrie Irving with the Brooklyn Nets. All that's left is just how it's going to work out. Because every day we get evidence, and the Nets can't make it cleaner, they are done being in the Kyrie Irving business. If we have to have you around for a little while longer, we'll have you around for a little while longer. But eventually, he's going to either walk away, we'll figure out a trade, we'll figure out a buyout, whatever it's going to be, we're going to figure this out, and he's not going to be part of the team. And the whole thing today with the no contract extension, when no one's even talking about it, this is just another way for them to say, oh, yeah, oh, by the way, future, now there's nothing past this for him either. We don't want you after this. So what does that tell you about Kyrie Irving's future? He may have played his last game as a Net already. He may have played his last game in the NBA, because where's he going to go? If he walks away from the game for a while, is he going to play? This is where Kyrie Irving is right now, that he may have played his last game in the NBA. Certainly, I would say he's probably done it with the Nets. And even if he does, it's only going to be a few games before they officially cut ties with him, because the team is going forward and Kyrie Irving is behind, and they don't even seem to be interested in letting him come back. If they wanted to. If they really wanted Kyrie to come back, that's what you would get. Ad nauseum from every single person in the Nets, from Kevin Durant to James Harden. They'd be pleading with him to come back. They would say, please come back. We need you to come when we need you. Steve Nash would be at Kyrie Irving's house going, listen, I'll let you coach some games because I know you think you can coach the team. We'll do all of this. Joe Tsai would be saying, what can we do? Kyrie, how can we help you with this? We need you. We need you. Right? Sean Marks, the same way, would be saying, I've been talking to Kyrie's people every single day. We're trying to figure out a solution. No, it's been, he's not going to practice if he's not with the team. Even though he can practice in Brooklyn, not doing it, not offering a contract extension, Harden's not talking to him. They are out of the Kyrie Irving business.
Well, I would say what comes down to here is you got a business of getting your season started next week and giving it any energy in the press does you no good. You've done all your pleading and arguments and fights off camera, off mic, and those have been going on for months. And if you're not changing his mind, don't give it any more energy, because you're also not going to give the appearance of being weak in this process of how much you need him. I'm basically saying, you know, we move on. We've got a good roster. And to many people's thinking, and I have to imagine when they did that poll, and I hate to reference it, but it's out there, the 72% of folks that thought they'd win it, I have to believe that many of them were under the assumption Kyrie's not part of it because he's not getting vaccinated, or that he's available to them in limited capacity because of it. So it's a long time before we get back to the playoffs. And certainly when we start talking about extensions, there's no need to give him any money now. So why this leaks now is a curiosity more than anything of, hey, you know, you might be able to come back for these 2 years, but don't think you're getting $186 million. Here's the problem, though, Jason, or the opportunity, depending on which side of the aisle you sit on. There's 29 other teams that would probably kick the tires. All right, maybe not a full 29, but say 20 of them. 25 of them would still say, if at 31, we don't have these mandates, we don't have this, Kyrie's still young, let's go. So I don't think this is done by any stretch. And I can't wait for the season to tip off so we can get more 50-point output.
Twitter it out about a fresca. Mike, it's Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Hey, coming up next, a really weird offshoot of an NFL topic coming off of the John Gruden situation that's got nothing to do with the Raiders. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oral greatness.
We're getting some more on Kyrie Irving coming up in a few minutes, thanks to Shams Charania of Yahoo. And boy, this takes the Kyrie Irving discussion into an even deeper place. But first, you know, this part of the offshoot of the John Gruden story now involves ESPN insider Adam Schefter, who found himself under fire today because an email that was part of the investigation was unearthed that had him sending a copy of an article he was writing or column he was writing for ESPN to then Washington GM Bruce Allen for, quote, approval. Called him Mr. Editor, saying, hey, this is what I'm going to write. Let me know if you have any suggestions, changes. Called him Mr. Editor. And since that happened, he has been getting called on the carpet for, this is not journalistic integrity. This is not journalistic standards. No one does this. And he has had to put out a couple of different apologies for this. Don't do this. Don't do this. This is I went a little far. You know, look, I think I'm the only one that wasn't surprised at this. Right. Adam Schefter is an insider. And he wants to be able to break news. That is what he does. How do you break news? You have to have relationships with people throughout the NFL. He's got to have relationships with every general manager and assistant general manager and anybody who's a director of pro personnel, because anybody coming up and coaches, because he wants the scoops. This is kind of how it goes. Anybody who stands up and is saying, well, this is not how we do it. Yes, you're a journalistic professor and you're teaching young kids. This is not the way to do it. I'm sorry, but I live in the real world where this is how it goes. Right? Listen, I've been in the business for a long time. I know how it works. Adam Schefter insiders build their brand on relationships. So here's a story about the lockout that he is sending. Hey, do you have any suggestions? Anything you want to say? What do you think about what I'm saying? This is not a breaking news story in which, hey, I have X, Y, and Z are the facts, but if you don't want me to report those facts, I'm not going to do it. This is, hey, you have any guidance? Because here's an email we're talking about the CBA and the lockout going on. This is something that happens, right? When Adam Schefter gives his opinion on a story, he gets it from somebody. When he says, hey, I don't know about Tom Brady going back to New England, he sold his house, he does all these things. Is this just Adam Schefter saying it, or is this Adam Schefter saying it because he's getting it from somebody? He's getting it from somebody about all these situations involving Tom Brady, why he's leaving the Patriots. This is how insiders work in any in any form of communication, whether it's sports, business, anything else, you have relationships. This was not a big news deal to me. I get that you've broken journalistic integrity. Yeah, and Adam Schefter's making his apology. Now he's going back to doing business the way he always does, because this is how it works when you're an insider in sports.
Well, and we find out today that his contract's up next year and he may be hired by Caesars. But that's a whole other thing that's starting to swirl coming out of this one. See how it all comes together. But in this particular case, it's, you know, we talk to Jay Glazer every week. You've got Ian Rappaport. You've got all these guys that between coaches and front office people and ownership groups all the way through. Yes, it's a business about relationships. Our job on air, relationships. Do we get the same type of information? Are we having the same types of conversations? No, not with that kind of regularity, but certainly every once in a while you'll talk to someone who knows a guy, you know, the 6 degrees of separation, that gives you a little bit of an insight as to why something is happening as it is in an organization. And it's like, it's on background, but like this, you know, it became the journalism on journalism thing, and got us away again from the whole Washington football team investigation, right? It becomes the layers that start to circle out. And right, wrong in terms of classic journalism, fight about it all you want. People get information, and it's quid pro quo, Clarice.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike gets swollen dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Yes, in a vacuum, oh, it's bad. In the real world, that's how it goes. Coming up next, more on Kyrie Irving and a story I never thought we'd do on the show, but we're going to do it.